Season countdown, and it is the first of the reigning premiers from 2018. Motowari coming from third on the ladder at the end of the home and away series to cause a massive upset in the grand final, beating Barwon Heads to land the club's first premiership since joining the BFL in 1996. This man wasn't in charge, but he's taken over in the off-season. He's gone into a co-coaching role with John Meeson, with Josh Finch stepping down, and he's been thrust into the hot seat of the season countdown. Seamus Orr has joined us in the K-Rock studios. Ori, firstly, congratulations on the appointment. Massive shoes to fill when a bloke like Josh Finch decides he's going to give it away.
Thanks, Kingy. Thanks for having me. Absolutely, massive shoes to fill. I think everyone knows Josh Finch's legacy in the BFL and also at Motowari. So certainly big shoes to fill, but looking forward to it. It's exciting.
When did you know that you'd be taking over? Was it something decided before the season was done and dusted and the cup was raised, or was it post?
We'd had some initial discussions just mapping out what it might look like in the next couple of years. So certainly nothing in concrete. Obviously, you go through your celebrations and things like that, and then we finalise that after.
Yeah. You're very convincing, John Daly, at the Mad Monday celebrations.
Yeah, John Daly
up the top.
Yeah, it was. I think I found the wig and then had the idea and matched it from there. But it came together quite nicely. Yeah.
When did you get down to business in terms of starting the premiership defence? Because local footy, as much as it's still local footy, never stops.
Yeah, I think. Well, for me personally, once I'd had that. Appointment as senior co-coach with John Meeson, you already have ideas flying through your head, things you might want to change, things you think you did really well. Then you start thinking about, okay, what are other teams doing? How can we maybe, work their game styles out? How can we do things better? So certainly, yeah, all summer I've been thinking about things, and same as the other coaches.
Recruiting becomes obviously a key priority, especially with who you've lost. I know a bit's been made of it, but you'll probably go into round one with at least half a dozen of your premiership side not there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's up around maybe 9 guys from the premiership side that won't be there. Recruiting's, I think, been made tougher in recent years just with the addition of obviously the point system. So you do need to be really targeted. We think we've done that really well. We haven't gone out to replace anyone. We've got guys that can certainly fill similar roles, but we're actually really excited that we're going to have a different look and we'll get some guys that can do some different things. So, hopefully we look a little bit different to how we did in 2018 and we keep everyone on their toes. Yeah.
Just some key ones that are gone is Daniel Sturzaker. We know just how much, I suppose, everybody would love to run out with the Sturzy in their side. He plays on the edge and with plenty of passion, but gone home for family reasons. How do you fill that void, especially because he's so flexible either as a key defender or as a ruck?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there'll be a few happy people around the BFL that don't have to play against Sturzy anymore, but certainly playing with him, he was a heart and soul player. He could drag in intercept marks, he could play in the ruck, he could go forward and kick a goal, he could kind of do everything. So again, we've brought in a guy, Ollie Butler, that can do some different things. He's a different player to Sturzy. So we're just working through that now. How do we work as a back six and how do we bring in Ollie's strengths and maybe other people's strengths to take a bit of the load, because certainly Sturzy did a fair job for us down there.
Yeah. Also from the premiership side, Brodie Adcock won't be there. Luke Forbes is retired, we suspect, at this stage. Jez Ollis is going to go and have a crack at Bell Park. James Ritchie's having a year off. Anybody else out of that 22 that you might not see come round one?
So we've lost a couple there. Jacob Clark at this stage, he's just going through an application to get into the police force, so he's working through that. He's got a bit on with a young daughter in his life as well, so we're hopeful we'll see him throughout the year, but at this stage planning to not have him.
Okay, and a couple of others in terms of, I suppose, depth. Jaden Cogan's gone home to Mildura. Josh Bowman would have been in your premiership side if not for injury. He's going to have a kick out at Inverleigh. But coming in, you mentioned Ollie Butler, but talking to John Meeson, big raps for Hasker Dorbin, who's was a very talented junior at TAC Cup level.
Yeah, so big Hasker. He could be someone that's in a similar mould to Sturzy. He can play at either end. He's had, as you said, career at TAC Cup level and junior level as a really strong centre half back. He's played both for us, throughout the preseason. So he's someone that could definitely help ease the load. Helps to have a tall person to kick to down there. Yeah. So that gives us a different look as well, because it sort of something we haven't had in the past.
Yep. George Swarbrick's played some GFL senior footy with you at Newtown?
No, I just missed him when I'd left Newtown. So I think he's been there 3 or 4 years now. So again, just a really good guy to have around the club. He's a contested player that gives us a different look inside.
Yep. Miso's been able to use his contacts to reel in a pretty handy one in Craig Evans. What's his background for those who might not know?
Yeah, so Craig Evans sort of popped up on the radar late through his connection with Johnny Meeson out at Norwood. So Craig's played about 130-odd sample games, relocated across here to Melbourne a year or two ago, looking for someone to have a kick. So we've been super impressed to have him down. Played really well in our first intra-club and backed that up again against Leopold in our first practice match.
Yep. Talk to us about how you'll use him. Has he got some, I suppose, tricks that you can use him in various positions?
Yeah, absolutely. He's versatile. He can play as a mid, he could play as a half-back or even half-forward. He's a strong body. He's seasoned. You don't have to worry too much about where you need to put him. He'll just get the job done. He's already given us some I suppose you call them inside tips or things from his past in his career, and just said, oh, have you thought about this, or maybe this could work, or this. So already he's having a huge impact on the group.
You as coach, has it changed how you look at football, or having had your roles that you've had in the past? And for those who don't know, obviously you had some analyst roles with Geelong and Essendon. Were you already sort of set in your ways in how you looked at football?
Yeah, I suppose. I've had an interesting journey. Obviously, I learned a lot about my footy when I was working at Essendon, and then got a really different experience when I was at Geelong, which is great because a lot of people think about football in different ways. Being a coach, I think I already had that analytical sort of mindset last year as an assistant coach. I did delve, you know, pretty deep into games and some strategy and game style. So I think that'll remain the same. You just need to be mindful as a coach, and it suits me, background as a teacher as well, of just how you get that message across to your players. So it's okay for me to spend hours on end watching vision and trying to debunk the myths of the game. but if I can't then translate that into guidelines or game styles that players can follow, it really doesn't mean much at all. So yeah, that's the art of coaching, I guess.
Yep. How much vision would you have watched in the off season? Do you go back through your tapes? Do you go back through other clubs' tapes from last year?
Yeah, I watched a fair bit of our stuff just to really hone in on, I suppose, our game style. And when you do talk about some of the departures that we've had, I tried to already in my mind work out how we could play a little bit different, or how we could, you know, suit some new guys coming into the team. So yeah, I certainly do a lot. I'm a bit of a footy nut. You know, obviously my wife Danielle, she's playing footy all summer as well, so I'm around footy all the time. So yeah, I love watching it. I love learning about the game.
Yep. How many times have you watched the grand final?
I've watched it, I think, 3 times now. Yeah. First for enjoyment, and then the next couple of times to try and work out what we did well and perhaps where we may have got an advantage over Bowen Heads, and yeah, just more of a review.
Yep. Anything you've picked out that you might not have picked up on grand final day?
Yeah, I think a lot of things, because it all goes so fast. Obviously, you're in the moment at the time. So yeah, there's certainly some elements there that we'll keep, and there's probably some things that we thought happened that we didn't quite expect. So we'll just have to plan for those better next time, yeah.
Yep. Did you play as well as you thought you'd played, or...? Watching it on reflection, watching it.
Yeah, it's always funny, isn't it?
Were you stiff not to get the medal?
Yeah, I thought so. No, not at all.
Who won it again? I can't remember his name. Who was it? Big bloke in the middle.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly. Yeah, what's his
name? And I no doubt he's listening.
Yeah, he'll be listening for sure. it's all about, you know, we preach it week to week and training to training about doing your role. I thought I did my role and... you know, at the end of the day, we had 22 guys that did their role that probably helped us get over the line against Bowen Heads. So,
is there any cliche that you would have heard people say as coaches, and you've gone, I will never use that as our coach, and you found yourself going, oh no, I've just used a cliche?
Yeah, it's actually quite hard. You think of what you're going to say and you think, oh, I'd never say that. But as cliches, they do summarise what you need to say. Yep. They are, I suppose, they're in our minds from when we grow up following footy, aren't they? So they're just ingrained, yeah. But I do cringe sometimes. I listen to these back and go, I don't know what you were talking about.
What's one that you have you caught yourself in the middle of one going, oh, I wish I don't want to be saying this.
Yeah, right but now. I think you sound worse because then you're listening to yourself trying to dig yourself out of a hole, yep. Whereas if you just bite the bullet and go with it and then deal with the consequences later, I find that easier.
Josh Finch, as we alluded to, a step down after 3 years in charge. Have you noticed him being freed up by not having the responsibility of coaching? And I suppose, will we see an Indian summer from Josh Finch this year?
Yeah, I think so. It's been good to watch Josh go about it just purely as a player. I don't think, given his experience, I've certainly used him a lot as a sounding board, so he can't truly escape it. I think for him personally and for family life, it's great not to have as much time being taken away by coaching a local football side. But he's an ultimate professional. He'll prepare just as well as he ever has because he's got such high standards for himself. And so we'll see a pretty fired up Josh Finch come 2019 season, I think.
Let's look at the first month. We spoke to Mitch Herbison last week and said that AFL Barwon had a sense of theatre by bringing the two grand finalists together. You get to unfurl the flag round one and they'll come at you as yep. hard as it. Can you prepare your players for what to expect from an opposition that, for some of them will be hurting at seeing that flag unfurled?
Yeah, absolutely. It is a fair sense of theatre, isn't it? If the game's not going to be fiery enough, we might as well hoist the premiership flag before it to fire them right up. But I think that's my philosophy around is we practice and train for that, you know, three times a week throughout the whole summer about staying calm, understanding our game style, understanding what needs to be done in any given moment. I don't think you can prepare for the first 3 minutes of a grand final rematch. I think it's going to be pretty hot, pretty fast, pretty intense. Yep. In and around the ball. It's another cliche for you. Whoever settles first and kind of gets to back to their plan that they had coming into the game will be the ones that wins the game.
Talk to us about those who, and the twos last year, unfortunately beaten in a heartbreaker last year against Torquay. Talk to us about some of those players that maybe might want to push up in season 2019, knowing there might be some spots to fill.
Yeah, absolutely. It's actually, I actually find it a bit difficult to talk about because you go back, especially at local country footy clubs, and the seniors, we've won the premiership. The reserves have lost for the second year in a row by a point. I've got nothing but admiration for some of the guys that played in that team and just the way they conducted themselves. So we've been mindful of that in the preseason. And they're, if anything, pushing everyone else at the club because they missed out and they want to taste the ultimate success. Yep. So there's been some guys really put their hand up. We've been doing some match practice stuff for 6 to 8 weeks now. And you can see it there. Some boys have been going pretty hard and pushing for spots. So that's the thing. When people leave your club, new opportunities arise for those who may or not have got a look in last year. Yep. So we're super excited to see what those guys can do.
Any names? Anybody that's impressed you?
Yeah, we've got a couple of guys. We had a few guys. Kane Timmins played his first game at sort of senior level in a practice match. We've also had some guys that have been training really, really well. Marcus Overman, before he went overseas a couple of weeks ago, hadn't missed a session, running really well, kicking the ball extremely well. Yeah, you could probably throw a blanket over another five or six of them. Matt Llewellyn, been training the house down, just missed out. Scott Driscoll missed out. Yep. He's doing a power of work to make sure that he's up to the standard and putting his hand up.
So that Disco had put a clearance in to play elsewhere, that's not going to happen. He's going to stay at Motta.
Yeah. I think he had some. He's got quite a important job in terms of how much time it takes up. So I think at the end of the day, once the dust settled, he thought his place was to keep playing with Motta and keep chasing that success again.
Because if there was probably one bloke last year that, you know, for all the work he'd done for the club,
absolutely,
probably you felt for, was Disco.
And that's the dark side of football, isn't it? I mean, as I said before, you know, as good as the celebrations were on the Saturday night, you also had half the room full of disappointed people, which just breaks your heart. And for Scott, I mean, he's been a heart and soul player at the Motta Warri Football Club for an extended period of time. But he's got the attitude that he's been asking questions. How can I get better? What do you need me to do? You know, where can I play? Can I play somewhere else? What do I need to do? So it's just fantastic to see.
All right, so Barnheads, as we touched on, round one, Anglesey round two, Torquay round three, Good Friday.
Yep.
And so Torquay have sort of had the wood on you, even though they
absolutely
last year.
Yep.
Just one club that you really battle with, and they kept it low scoring last year.
Yeah, well, when we opened up the account, last year for the Easter match, it was, I think it was 50-something.
Yeah, 50 to 41.
Yeah. So, oh, look, personally, I love playing Torquay. It's been a really good rivalry over the years. So we expect nothing less from them. They've been successful for a long period of time. So, we look forward to those matches, especially standalone matches where you get to showcase what you train all summer for. So that's going to be exciting.
So you've played Leopold and West already in practice matches. Camperdown, down at Camperdown to come. So a nice mix of opposition, probably higher quality in terms of the competitions that they play in.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we targeted. We wanted to have really high quality hitouts. You don't get too much opportunity. You do have to be mindful of players playing game time, players that are unavailable. We're obviously still in the cricket season, all those sorts of things. So we wanted three really high-quality matches. We've had two so far, and we've been really, really happy with the output and the results in those matches.
And then give the boys a weekend off last weekend of March.
Yeah, give the boys a weekend off and just tell them to say hello to their families. They're not going to see them for the next 20 weeks.
Yeah, we're going to keep them sort of under us until September 14, and then we'll release them back, hopefully with another Premiership Cup.
Exactly.
It'd be nice to go back-to-back. Ori, you are the hunted in season 2019 after winning the flag, although I suspect Barwon Heads, looking at what they've recruited in Drysdale, might have a bit of a say in what's going to happen at the end of the year as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's nice, you know. It's a different experience for us. We were probably the underdogs for the last couple of years, being seen as not too many people like driving down the highway down towards Colac and turning off at Motowari. So we look forward to those expectations. We look forward to the opportunity to play in those bigger games and have expectations on your shoulders. So, yeah, it's an exciting season.
Ori, really appreciate your time. Congratulations on your appointment. We wish you and John Meeson all the best for 2019.
Thanks very much, Kingy.
Seamus Orr joining us there, co-coach of Motowari. You're a Warriors fan and you think they're going to go all right in season 2019? Well, put your money where your mouth is. Well, actually, there's no money to be put, but there's money to be won. It's the Momentum Energy K-Rock Football Tipping Competition for this year. We've got $5,000 up for grabs, $1,000 for our leading AFL tipster, $1,000 for our leading GFL tipster, and $1,000 for our leading BFL tipster, as well as $1,000 to go towards your club that you nominate. So if you're a Motowari fan and you'd like to see the Warriors get $1,000 in the hand at the end of the year, make sure you join up at krockfootball.com.au and hit the footy tipping tab, thanks to Momentum Energy. That has been Motowari. Next in our season countdown, we're going to catch up with Newcombe coach Rory Nicol.